Thank you. All right. Call to order of the meeting. Pause for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would anyone like to offer a prayer? I'm not real good at it, so I would prefer if someone would. Thank you.
I will. But dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you today in this community that we serve. Give us guidance and help. Please help the military and the first responders, keep them safe. Give us guidance today as we consider what's good for this community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to roll call. We'll start here at the table, and then we'll go online afterwards.
Roger Childress, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
George Gorkowski, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
Victor?
Victor Tyo, present.
All right. I declare we have a quorum. All right. There are no public comments regarding any issues on this agenda, so I guess I just skipped that, right?
We got a blue card.
We've got a blue card, but it's regarding pressures, so we'll refer it to Steve.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. So no public comments. Okay. 6, business. Discuss to take possible action regarding a change order for the SV3 well for the increased cost in well design. Sharon.
Actually, Paul decided he wanted to handle this, so I'm going to let him have it.
Well, his name's on it too, so that's fine.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Board. As you know, the last board meeting, we talked about an update to the design of the well based upon what we knew at the time. Since that time, we've had more work done on the well and also determined that some of the material that was initially designed for the well had a very long lead time that was going to create excessive delays, and the contracts for well drilling are such that if you have delays that make it so they can't progress and the rig is on the site, you're still going to pay for standby time either with the crew or without. And so we looked at the new information and said, we're not sure exactly where the water is in this hole. And we had some assumptions initially that the water might be as high as 850 feet. And the well driller advised us that they did not have confidence in the fact that that was the aquifer that we were going to go after, and indicated that it might be advisable for us to reinstall the drilling equipment so that we could determine water levels. We did that. That's a change order item. We did that and determined that the water level is at 1671 feet. And so the well, as you recall, was drilled to about 2,000 feet. And so looking at the water level at that 1670, and knowing that as we start pumping, that level is likely to go down somewhat and then stabilize, we won't know until we do a test on the well how much drawdown there might be. So the consultant got together with district staff and discussed experience on how the district operates the well, talked with Kyle and Steve and other staff people, and the staff wisely suggested that we try and place the well pump and equipment as deep as we could to give us the most water over top the well, so that as we draw water down, we're likely to always have plenty of water on top of the pump. As you recall, in some of the more shallow wells, we have periodic dry cycles in the shallow wells, and we actually lose the water and have to shut the pump off, and so we didn't want to have that situation. So the consultant came back and recommended that yes, we should go ahead and set the pump as deep as we could. Around 1900 feet is where we'll be setting the pump, and also adjusting the screened area where there's perforations to allow water to come in the side. And then in addition to that, recommending that we open the bottom of the pipe so that the casing, so that the water can come in either through the side or through the bottom and not have any restriction. So in looking at that, they were trying to figure out how big of a casing we can get in there in order to give us the room to have the largest pump possible to be able to extract the most amount of water as possible. Plus, this additional depth requires a larger horsepower, which makes, just like any motor, it gets larger. And then you have a cable that's 1900 feet plus coming back to the electric box. That is a very weighty cable in size because of just the mass of it and having the insulation. So as they started to add up the things that had to go down the hole, rather than having a descending size casing, they're recommending staying with a 10-inch all the way to the bottom. So, as you might surprise, but one thing leads to another. So you make one thing a little bigger, and then the borehole or the rock that they had to clear away was going to have a very, very small clearance, and there was no confidence from the driller, the senior driller, the owner of the company, the consultant, and really among ourselves, that we would not get hung up on the rock that forms what they call the borehole. And so they said, now is the time to ream it out a little bit more so that we had some clearance. So as they extend this down, they need to get all the way to the bottom in order to be able to have a pump that you could lower down into the water and not get stuck on rocks and jagged things. Some smaller wells, in some cases, you can put a small pump in a cased area and then extend it beyond the cased area and not have too much risk. But if you think about something 1,900 feet down in the hole, it's going to ride along whatever side, and you want to have it be able to slide along the casing and then be able to pull it in and out. So all of that led to a need for a 10-inch casing, which in the original specification, they had required a domestic steel for the components. Well, that's fine if you have plenty of time and enough money. What we found is that we might be weeks and weeks before we could get a domestic steel, and we could get a non-domestic steel casing in a couple of weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. But under the regulations, if you're going to use non-domestic steel, you have to apply, you have to document what they call a de minimis variance to the requirement for American iron and steel. And you can only go to a certain level within the total cost of the project. Luckily, non-domestic steel happens to be less expensive. Also, if we have solid casing, except for, in this case, about 100 feet, that is less expensive. And so we're now at $70 or $80, roughly, per foot for the non-domestic steel. It's either 72 for solid, and it's 88. So there's a substantial savings. So we will be getting credits of $33,000 and change for the 6-inch casing we're not going to need. A lot of the filter packing formation stabilizers, other components that were originally required in the project, 8-inch casing, and then 6-inch casing, other kinds of things, gave us a nice credit, thank goodness, because that took us to a final number that is approximately $194,000 and change. It's actually $194,813.72. It always tickles me on these big projects that the contractor wants 72 cents extra, but I guess that's the way the computers work. So at this point, we certainly can entertain any questions. Our recommendation as staff and program manager and the consultant is that the board approve this change in design and this change order in cost.
Paul?
Yes?
Would you also let the board know that if we do this 10-inch boring, there's still a possibility we're not going to achieve what we want?
In what regard?
Well, like you said before, I don't know where you came up with your change of attitude from Thursday, but Thursday, Sharon and I were looking at it as like we could spend the $85,000 and bore it, or we could take a chance of putting the 10-inch down. Either way, there's a possibility of it getting up and not getting down to the bottom. Isn't that correct?
I see. There's always a possibility that you could get hung up. Absolutely.
Okay. With that being said, it's still your stance to approve.
You either walk away from this well and not finish it and go elsewhere, or you go forward with this and do your best to get that casing at the bottom.
So we take a chance whether we get the casing down, whether we board it or not.
There's always a risk.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are boring it.
We are going to board out the 13.
That's in the change order. We are going to board.
Yeah, there's part of the cost is to board out. But even if you board, board it out, there's always a possibility that the formation could move or things like that. So yes, it's being bored out to 13 inches.
Is there any issues with leaving the bottom pipe open?
No.
Okay.
In fact, because we.
What do we know about it?
Are going to run the casing down to the bottom, and we are going to secure it by expanding the casing up in the current large pipe. They call that the intermediate casing. It'll be very secure.
Are there any other options besides this on the table?
No, sir.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, you mentioned that you really can't tell where the water's coming from.
Well, go ahead.
I'm just curious, don't water samples give you some indication?
Well, when we take samples during development, we would see the amount of water and what the water quality is. We have not taken water samples down in the borehole at this point because it's hard to access that. We did send the drill pipe down in order to measure, to tag, what they call tag, but to measure the static water level. Mm-hmm. There are fractures in the formation is what they call it. And Larry can probably speak to that as much as anything, but those various cracks are where the water comes in. What we did see from the driller is that there are several areas where there are voids, and we expect that those voids would be carrying water horizontally towards the hole as we pump. And so you're down in not what they really they call it a saturated zone down in the valley where it's a big gravel, but up here it's really fractured rock with various fissures that are submerged fissures, and they have little streams and squirts and little rivulets of water that come towards the drill hole. Uh-huh. So somewhere the top 1,000 feet will have a solid casing that's sealed off. That protects the SV2 well that's there at the site right now. If we had opened that up and started pumping, we could likely take water from that well And if it's easier for that water to get to this, it could dewater that well. And that's what happened to Portal 4, because they were drilling a well and they hadn't sealed off the higher areas, and they had to then plug that all off, throw away all the investment they did, get things sealed off again, allow the existing wells to come back, and then move over and take a different technique. What we did is we did this borehole and then sealed off the top 1,000 feet. So any of the water will be coming, if you look at the diagram, apologize to the public, but if you look at the diagram, at the 1,000-foot level, there's cement grout seal that is in there, and that will seal it so that any of the water up high can't go down below. Below that 1,000-foot level, that area, you can see a annulus area or the borehole. It's not the scale, but it is a 13 diameter hole, and then there's a 10-inch pipe depicted there called a casing. And the water from any crack below 1,000 feet down to 2,000 can find its way into that opening, go down and through the screen or through the bottom. And of course the pump will be set around 1,900 feet so that we can have plenty of water over top of the pump.
The reason we have to bore the hole out another inch is because while it's a 10-inch casing, the outside diameter of that is 10 3/4 inches. So it's not, you got 3/4 inches you're losing in the width there, so we have to make it wider to have a better chance of putting it down there.
Yes, and as Steve was indicating in his note there, we were trying to avoid that extra $40,000 of going down with the drill bit again, and we were pressing them on that. And then as we learned that the outside diameter was going to make it very close, and you think about something that starts at 1,000 feet away from you, and then it goes to 2,000 feet away from you, and it's down there in a hole. It's not like you can see it and move it around. You're basically going to kind of bump along until you get it down to the bottom. And then at the level up in what they call the intermediate casing, the new 10-inch is going to extend into the existing upper casing. Go to the next diagram. There you go. The new 10-inch casing is going to extend into the existing casing approximately 50 feet. And then they have a hydraulic machine, they call it a sledge, and it really, it expands the pipe and squeezes it out and seals it. If you've ever gone to a muffler shop, they have a device that they stick in the pipe and they expand it so that they can stick it. But it's kind of like that, only it's supersized.
Oh yeah, imagine. That's pretty thick steel.
Yeah, and they call that a sledge.
Wow.
I think they call that in the muffler shop the same thing.
Well, it could be.
Yeah. So we're going to have 341 foot of water from where the water line is to the bottom. In your experience, is that usually enough for pumping this, you know, pumping in a pipe this big? Or, I mean, what's the average?
There's not an average, but that should be plenty of water over top the pump. I would defer to Kyle in his view of how pumps up here seem to work, and what kind of, the more water you can have over top the pump, the better. And so by setting it down at this level, that's the best we can do. But go ahead, Kyle.
It'll be plenty of water over the pump. So as you know, it'll go in through the slots of the casing and it'll come up. The reason I suggested that we go, because originally they said they wanted to set the pump at 1,800 feet. I suggested we go another 1,000 just because
100.
Or yeah, another 100, sorry.
we have 1,000.
Because of the lost circulation. And the lost circulation means that they're no longer blowing everything out the top of the hole. So they're pretty much drilling the hole blind. they can't see what's going on, they can't feel what's going on, they just know that there's voids down there, more than likely where the water's getting made.
Yeah, I read the report.
But it should be plenty of water to do what we need to do. You don't want to set it completely at the bottom because of sand and everything else that comes in. You don't ever want to do that.
And the good thing is we're going to equip it there, and as time goes by, if fill comes in from sand or other kinds of minerals that liquefy and move in there, and if we have plenty of water depth, they can take some length off and pull it up a little bit. This is a good place to start. And this doesn't mean we'll actually have to set it at 1900. We just want to design it so that we have enough money to do that. They're going to go in with a test pump that's going to pump the water and see what the drawdown is, and then we'll be able to celebrate, pop the champagne, because, or whatever, your apple cider, and get excited about how much water and how good the water is.
Okay, one other question. You said they're going to have to wallow out the bottom of that hole. How do they do it? Well, they got a special bit that kind of spreads out more so you can make it larger than...
So it's just like you drilling a hole with your drill, only the tool, the hard bit on the end is at the end of this real stiff drill pipe, and it drills a 13-inch hole instead of a 12 or a 10 or an 8.
So somehow it expands its blades past that?
No, it's solid.
It's called a tricone bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just trying to figure out how to get it through the 10-inch part in the top, though.
Well, the 10-inch isn't in there right now.
Oh, okay.
No, none of that's in there.
Okay, I understand.
That's what we do first before we put the 10-inch.
Okay. So, we haven't got to the full 10-inch. I thought we had put in. Okay.
Yeah, if there was still pipe in there, we wouldn't have the option of drilling it.
That's why I was asking. I was confused. Yeah. Okay, all right.
That's a good question.
So these vertical nail slots, I mean...
Correct.
Is there anything that prevents the sand from filtering through those?
No, the sand will go through those for the most part, and then the velocity going up should be less than the weight of the sand, and so it can pull it in, and it will build up over time. The sump area or the lower area pumps of wells typically have some kind of a fill, and then as someday we'll pull the equipment out for maintenance or servicing, and that time we'll probably have to bail it out and clean the sump out.
Okay.
But hopefully it doesn't make much sand, because, but until we do the development, we don't really know.
Now, Larry, you're the geologist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go deep like that, I would expect that the ground would get harder and harder because of the compression. Is that right?
Not really.
No.
Once it's so compressed, it doesn't really get harder until you get way deeper than we're looking at.
Okay. Like beyond the mantle, huh?
Well, no, but to give you an idea, I've sat 20,000 foot wells, and the lithology is the same as 10,000 foot wells, so.
Depends what the formation is, I guess, and what type of material you got down there. And what is the type of material they're seeing at the bottom of the well?
They're putting together a report from their cuttings. We haven't seen it yet, but they've been sampling on a regular interval and have evaluated those and have saved those samples. And so once we get to the next step, they'll be putting that report together.
The real problem is that lost circulation zones, we don't get any samples back, so we don't know what we have in the bottom of the hole.
But we don't have cuttings down in the deep part.
No.
We only have it in the first 1,000 feet.
Right.
Do you want to see if anybody online has it?
Anybody online have any questions? Corey, Victor?
Hey. Hey, it's Corey. I don't have any other questions. No questions for me either. Thank you.
All right.
Well, Mr. Vice Chair, what we hope the next report will be is that they have successfully set the casing. And then the next good news that we're looking forward to is they put in the test pump and they have developed the well and then ran a testing time period, constant speed pumping, some intermediate pumping. And then they'll come back with a report that says you should plan on getting this much water from this well on a long-term basis. So we'll look forward to that. Once we have that, then they'll be ordering the pump and equipment, and they'll be pulling off with the drill rig, and we'll be focused on then on the design of the pump house and electrical and the tank and all the other parts of it. And as soon as we get APS power in there and get those others built, then we have wet water coming out of this hole.
The permit to use the non-US steel, is that going to be an issue as far as a delay? Or can we get that fairly quick?
They talked about 2 weeks, so oh. That probably means it's 7 to 10 days.
It's not really a permit. It's a
variance. Yeah.
It's a de minimis variance that you can get as long as whatever you're purchasing is not over 5% of the contract.
Okay.
And the cost of this is not.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that it's not going to be a problem.
It wasn't immediately in stock in Phoenix. But
I wouldn't expect it to be, really.
Well, you know, 10 inches a little bit interesting, but, you know, certain sizes, certain locations are in stock at certain areas.
Where are we going to get it from, Texas or?
Colorado. I didn't see where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. We get casing out of Bakersfield. Four wells down in the valley. Those are 20-inch casings that I work on down there.
Okay. Steve, Paul, the testing that you mentioned, what's the timetable for that? When will we get that report back, you think?
So once they have the casing set, they will then schedule the pump testing as soon as possible because they want to get their rigs off and to the next job. And so I don't have an exact schedule, but it's a matter of a couple of weeks after we get the casing set that we would start the work associated with the development and testing.
So we're probably looking closer to the end of April before everything starts being removed.
I'd say we'll have some good news for you in the latter part of April.
Okay. And probably by the end of April, the walls can come down and that sort of stuff. Or...
Well, we're probably going to leave the walls up until the testing and development is done because they have to bring noisy equipment in to run their pumps.
But you'll notice if you look at this change order 3 that I sent you all a copy of in the email that they're asking for a little more time. And so the substantial completion has moved from April to June. So I wouldn't be expecting any testing for the end of April at the very earliest. It's going to take them a while to drill it out and then to get the casing and put the casing in. That's going to take time.
Okay. Paul, I know the public will be very interested in when the stuff will be removed, so maybe in our regular monthly meeting, you can, if you can put together an update on that, it would probably be really good.
Certainly, we'll give you an updated schedule at each board meeting. Okay. Now that we're getting down to the point of being able to know it. Up to this point, we could give you a schedule based upon the current design. We're on the third design now, which is in your best interest. I mean, thank goodness we didn't go ahead and throw an 8-inch casing down there in the bottom or a 6-inch casing down in the bottom because Kyle wouldn't have been able to stick a pump down there at the deep water. So it's unfortunate, but until you get there, you just don't know. You can project.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Any other last questions for Paul?
I have one for Sharon. Do we have anything... What are we going to do about the tank? Are we going to do a talk about that later, or was it?
And we've told the engineers it's a 16-foot tank.
Okay. Okay.
So that's what's going in the design.
All right.
If there's nothing else, I make a motion to approve the well design modifications and change order proposal from KP Ventures in the amount of $194,813.72, and authorize the chairman or the vice chairman to execute the required documents.
I second that.
Okay, we have a vote. Yes?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Nay?
Aye.
No? Nay? No nays. Okay, the motion is passed. Thank you very much. Item number 7, identify potential agenda items for next scheduled board meeting of directors on the 28th. Anybody have any items they want to put on that?
Christy will be reporting on the racket renewal for this year at next month's meeting.
Okay. All right, anything else? The chair would attend,
We have two proposals from fence contractors for the fencing for the site that we'll want to discuss at that board meeting.
Good point.
We had at one time talked about having a different software company for somebody to manage the computers and so forth.
Well, apparently we didn't. We didn't reach out to them to get a quote, so we're just, we will have the, our contract is running out the end of March and we'll be starting April, so we'll bring the new contract with Smart Systems to that board meeting as well.
Okay.
For approval.
All right, here you go. Okay, the chair will ask if someone would like to make a motion to adjourn.
My motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Against? We are officially adjourned. Thank you.